Welcome to Legal Nurse Podcast, where you will get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside of legal nurse consulting. They will share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with 30 years experience. So, join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's Pat.
This is Pat Iyer with the Legal Nurse Podcast, and I have with me today Anne Marie Hurey, who is coming to us from New York. She is a person who coaches executives and entrepreneurs and focuses a lot on the area of mindfulness, wellness, and stress management. I brought her to you today because working as a nurse in a healthcare environment or working with attorneys can generate a certain level of stress, and we need to know how to manage that so that we can maintain our equanimity and our moods and not let it affect our health. So, Anne Marie, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. And I think you have a strong purpose, and I just love what you're doing for your audience.
Well, thank you. I know when you and I first talked, you told me that you were involved in computer games, which certainly relieves stress. And knowing from my son, who created his own computer game, I know that one of the goals is to make, at least to engage people, make them happy or keep them active. How do you go from computer games into becoming interested in stress management?
Life happens. And I had this fabulous career traveling all around the world. I was one of the first women in the industry, so I was privileged to speak in South Korea or Europe, and it was so much fun, and it was stressful. But nothing prepared me for the stress of my dad having Alzheimer's and my mom having Lewy body dementia. And my world changed. I wasn't expecting that. Nobody expects these things. But when you're the family caregiver, and now instead of working with high-tech professionals, you're working with nurses and doctors in different health environments, you need to get up to speed quickly. And not knowing how to talk other people's language can be very, very stressful, as well as for the person you're taking care of.
It sounds to me like their illness then changed your career. You were not able to continue in that job because of their needs. Is that what I'm understanding?
Exactly. Because if you're in the computer game or software industry, that is a career. You do that job 24/7, even if it's wonderful and you love it. But then if you're taking care of someone, that's a 24/7 job as well. So you have to put yourself out there. And the way I did it is I used some of my skills from computer game development and digital media, and I transformed that. I started to help other caregivers. I worked with Alzheimer's Association, Parkinson's Association, and different groups to get the message across to start helping family caregivers and people in the profession that I found were so stressed out and needed help. But I always had a mindfulness practice, and I pray, and I had that for many, many years. So it wasn't like it was an overnight transition. I called on the tools that I had.
Can you talk a little bit about the stress that caregivers can experience in their roles?
You know, 67% of primary family caregivers who take care of loved ones with dementia end up passing away before the person they're taking care of. Think about that. That's a statistic that has come out of the National Institute of Health. It's known through the Alzheimer's Association. That is outstanding. And 90% of family caregivers admit to being depressed. people who are family caregivers, they don't take care of themselves first because they're taking care of someone else. And if you don't put yourself first, it's like, you know, putting water into a pitcher and then there's no water left to put it out to anybody else. So that's really so important to take care of yourself first, but family caregivers don't do that. I know even with my mom, when she was taking care of my dad with Alzheimer's, she couldn't even go to the bathroom by herself because he would be behind her knocking on the door. Where are you, honey? Where are you, honey? So you need that time for yourself and you get so stressed out. And can you imagine? I even see it in nursing homes with nurses and aides and doctors who are exposed to that all of the time. And if they don't take care of themselves, they just get burned out very quickly.
There was a woman in my church who was a aide for a woman in a nursing home. She followed this woman into the nursing home when the woman's needs increased. And the woman she was taking care of had dementia, and she would ask the same question over and over and over and over and over again. And finally, one day, my church friend just snapped and shouted at her.
Oh, yes.
And she lost her job on the spot. They said that was verbal abuse, and she was fired.
Yes, it does try your patience. I mean, one of the things about mindfulness, there are attributes, and patience is one of them. And I think it's important, you know, people often think that mindfulness is something that's woo-woo, and I especially hear that in corporate workplaces. But mindfulness in this world in North America was actually brought in by Dr. Jon Kabat-Zinn, a cardiologist who started his program because he wanted to know if mindfulness techniques could reduce the stress and help in pain management for his patients. And he did this at the University of Massachusetts, and he studied this. And just like that family caregiver or the caregiver who went into the nursing home, of course you want to snap when somebody asks you that question 1,001 times, and then 5 minutes does it again afterwards. But if you understand that you're speaking to a disease, not to that person in that moment, it's so much easier for you to accept what's going on. And it's not easy. You can't do it all the time. And sure, we lose our tempers. But unfortunately, she was in a nursing home when she snapped with other professionals there. And it's heartbreaking because nursing homes are understaffed and people need to bring in outside family members and caregivers to help for the loved ones to ease the pressure on nursing home staff.
Mm-hmm. You talked about mindfulness a few minutes ago, and I think our listener would be interested in knowing more about what is mindfulness, how do you practice it? Tell us a little bit more about that concept.
Mindfulness obviously means awareness, but there are actual attributes that if you practice these things and you keep them in the forefront of your daily practice, things like trust, letting go, forgiveness, patience, and really understand those things and incorporate it into your life, that's mindfulness. It's also common sense. And when I say practice, yes, there are things like yoga, and there are things as meditation, which is a good, you know, important part of a practice. But it's also just taking 5 minutes here and there and incorporating those things into your life. You know, even a simple thing like a couple of years ago, when everybody started jumping on Zoom and corporations were saying, oh no, my staff is working from home and I can't control what they're doing. And you get on the Zoom room and everybody's like, okay, did you do this today? And this, this, and this. According to the New York University Center of Mindfulness, the first question today asked in a Zoom room is, how are you today? That's a mindfulness practice. By just taking the time to do deep listening, to really have that curiosity, a beginner's mind. And if you start incorporating those things into your life, you let go of a lot of things that maybe would stress you out, that now they don't, because you keep things in perspective. And you and I have talked about this idea of, you know, perspective, that if you keep things in the right frame of mind, you let things go, you don't become stressed out. And those are the tools really that are the foundations of mindfulness. They also lead to other things such as forgiveness or kindness or gratitude. Those are all the embodiments of mindfulness. And it's just thrilling for me when I work with my clients that once they get it and start incorporating these things into their lives, or even in the corporate world or in hospitals, that everybody's just much nicer. They're nicer to themselves and to each other.
Mm-hmm. I know that you're aware, as is our viewer of this podcast, if you're watching on our YouTube channel or you're listening, that the stress levels in healthcare have gone up significantly since the pandemic began. What are some of the negative effects associated with those stress levels?
If we don't take care of ourselves, we're in trouble. And I hear this more from medical professionals than I do in teaching, you know, what mindfulness is. I mean, people will say, oh, you didn't take time to go to the dentist? Now you have rotten teeth? You know, I mean, Buddha did not meditate to reduce stress, but stress comes into our lives that, you know, we know what our stressors are if we take the time to identify them. So all of a sudden you have a headache or a tummy ache, or, you know, your heart is racing and you have high blood pressure. Those are things that are caused by stress. And if you listen to Dr. Deepak Chopra or Rudy Tanzi, that 90% of all illnesses are caused by stress that we can control. And sure, there's other stresses that are environmentally related, or it could be a car accident, but we can control our stress. And if we don't, all those things in our body that start going wrong, that is stress.
What would you say to somebody who is looking for a technique to learn to handle that stress?
There are so many. I'll come back for another podcast. But I think the simple thing is just taking time to be aware of where you are at the present moment. I mean, here's a little technique that we can do. You just look around the room for five things that are the color blue. Then look around the room and think of four things that you can smell. Look around the room and just think about three things you can taste. And you start using your senses all the way down to the end till you learn one thing, and that is your awareness. And I always say, take out your hands and your thumbs and remember this little phrase, peace begins with me. And this is a symbol that when you're meditating, that you anchor yourself. It's taught to children in schools. I know even in hospitals, one thing that I have a doctor friend from India, and she teaches medical students, and she always says, between patients, wash your hands, stand in front of their door in the hospital, and take a deep breath. Just clear yourself from what you just saw in the other room. Know that you're going to be seeing a new patient, and just practice that present moment awareness where you give all of yourself to that patient in the present moment.
Mm-hmm. Boy, it's so easy to get distracted, isn't it?
It certainly
is. Thinking about what you should be making for dinner instead of the conversation that you are engaged in.
Exactly. And we do it all the time, the monkey minds. But it's surprising, like even during the day, all of a sudden I go, enough. And I struggle with a computer problem or something, and I'll go sit in the chair, and I have one of those back massagers, and it's timed for 10 minutes, and I turn it on, and I just, and that's it. And the other thing that you can do is sing to yourself, hum, sing happy birthday 3 times. That humming is the embodiment that you feel that relaxes your body. Here's the other thing. Tell yourself a joke. Make yourself laugh, because that triggers off your vagus nerve that sends a signal to your brain that we should be happy campers. And it sounds so silly, but it works. So just try some of these things throughout your day. Laugh at something. Get a colleague and say, oh, did you see so-and-so's clogs today while they were working on the floor? Aren't they silly? And you'll just have a good laugh. It's amazing what you can do to reduce your stress levels.
I find that if I go to YouTube and I look for those videos of bloopers or fails, I think they're called, that those relax me, and I enjoy somebody else's misfortune. Person who falls into the lake fully dressed, for example, who had not planned on going into the lake. Those are great examples of things that are funny for me.
Before we continue with the show, I'd like to share this special announcement with you.
This is Pat Iyer, and I have with me Barbara Levin, who is one of the speakers at our domestic violence conference taking place June 9th and 10th, 2022. Barbara is an orthopedic nurse who works as a clinical scholar at Massachusetts General Hospital, taking care of patients virtually every weekend, and has certainly had in her career a lot of exposure to broken bones. Barbara, we invited you to come to the conference so that you could share some information about the kinds of traumatic fractures that might occur in domestic violence, and more specifically, intimate partner violence. Can you tell our viewer a couple of tips about what you'll be covering at our conference?
Absolutely. My program will include orthopedic injuries and complications. It's very important for legal nurses to understand the types of fractures that can occur, but also the complications, so that when they're interpreting medical records, they take all of those factors into consideration. We will discuss different types of fractures, bone integrity, and how osteoporosis can add a new layer when it comes to injuries to the bone. We will discuss healing issues, malunion of fractures, as well as nonunion of fractures. We will also talk about stages of healing. So if you're looking at some medical records, understanding what are old fractures and what do new fractures look like. And that's very important when taking a look at these cases. Other areas that we'll discuss are open versus closed fractures, comminuted fractures, spiral fractures. Spiral fractures oftentimes are linked to an individual, let's say, for example, grabbing an arm and twisting the arm. And you'll see examples of that. There are times that adults will come to the hospital time and time again and present with new fractures, new upon old. And it gets to the point that the nursing staff and others call social services in, thinking this must be domestic abuse. This must be some type of abuse. And I'm going to show you something that you probably won't consider. And that's another bone issue that can cause these fractures, and it is not related to abuse. So please attend our program, stay tuned, and I look forward to seeing you.
Thank you, Barbara. You have me intrigued. I want to know the answer to that, but I know you will share it at the conference taking place June 9th and 10th, 2022. If you see this video after the conference, we will be making the recordings available and you can catch up on what you missed. Our focus in this conference is how LNCs help attorneys with domestic violence cases. There are unfortunately a lot of partners who are injured, both men and women, and a lot of medical issues that an attorney may not be able to handle without the skilled help of a legal nurse consultant. And that's where you come in. Come and get the specialized training that you need at our conference. You can sign up for the conference at lnc.tips/DV. That stands for domestic violence. That link again is http://lnc.tips/DV. We'll see you there and you'll get a chance to ask Barbara Levin about her knowledge. And I know that it's going to trigger a lot of thought and perspective for you. We'll see you there.
Now let's return to the show.
You know, here's an interesting project that happened out of the state of Wisconsin that they tried with dementia patients. It was a mindfulness technique of giving dementia patients iPods and headsets, playing music. They reduced the use of psychotic medicines by 90%. So when an aide saw a patient that was starting to have behavioral problems, she went to a nurse, usually it was a woman, that would go to the nurse and say, Mr. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so is having an episode. The nurse then would get out the iPods, put on the headsets, and that person would listen to the music, and all of a sudden they would start singing. And it was done primarily with dementia patients. But it's amazing that that same technique, if you just go off into your own little world of listening to some nice singing, or even if you're meditating, some sound bowl therapy, or just anything to calm you down, that has such an amazing effect on your body that that's a mindfulness practice too, because you're taking it in and your body feels what's going on around you.
Now, you mentioned a sound bowl, and that may not be a noun that everybody understands. Can you explain what that is?
There are the Tibetan sound bowls, and I'm sure you have heard them before. Go on YouTube, Pat, and you can just look up Tibetan sound bowls, and they are just beautiful brass bowls or chimes or crystals, and they're just this calm little ringing. Or sometimes you will hear Gregorian chants from in church. That has the same effect, that people listen to these and they just, that vibration that goes through your body changes the frequency of your body and your brain. And it sounds like, oh, I just said frequency in your body and your brain. But we all know that our brains are affected by the music that we're listening to. Our body believes every word we say. So if you're a happy camper, your body's going to believe it. If you're negative all the time or have those negative friends that bring you down, say goodbye to them. Put them in a nice place with respect, but hang out with those happy people in your life.
Yes. All right. I'll have to watch for that. In fact, I think that my son received a sound bowl as a wedding present, now that you're describing it, because he loved the vibrations that came from that bowl.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Let's bring this to the healthcare professional. And I know that you've talked a little bit about this, but what have you been reading or learning about in terms of the techniques that the legal nurse consultants listening to this program should be aware of?
Let's face it, nurses, no matter what aspect of nursing they're in, are stressed. I think I don't have a lot of exposure to legal nurses, but you have taught me some of the things that have gone through that they're not respected and oftentimes spoken down to, that negativity gets to you. And a practice in mindfulness will help keep things in perspective, that you can own yourself and your own being. And if someone criticizes you, you know it's their problem. It's not you. And I think we forget that we take things personally because so many of us want to be people pleasers or we want to do the job right. And the thing is, we have to have confidence in ourselves that we are doing the best we can. We are professionals. We are doing the job right. Their reactions are not your problem. Mm-hmm. It's your reaction to the situation. So if somebody came to you and said, I don't like this, you're not doing this right, blah, 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 blah. You can calmly talk to them and say, well, what should I be doing? Rather than, oh no, I did this wrong. What am I going to do? Like, how do I fix it? And just having that grounding where you take a deep breath and you say, this is true. This is not a what if scenario. And you anchor yourself and your strong belief in what you're doing. You know that that arrogance is not you. That arrogance, or maybe the way you were spoken to, comes from someone else. It's their perspective. Maybe they had a bad day. Maybe they're nervous. You can't control them, but you can control your own emotions and your perspective to someone else. I know, you know, there are times that I've seen nurses in hospitals running around like crazy, and they'll actually say, oh, that doctor, he's such a prima donna. You know, I mean, let's be honest here. We hear these things all the time. But if they know what they are doing and keep firm in what they are doing, then they know that that's the right thing and let the consequences fall where they may. It's like that saying about water falling off of a duck's back. It's not always easy, but just take that deep breath, center yourself, look at things from all perspectives, because that's what we do in any profession, but especially I know working with lawyers who oftentimes have problems of their own, especially with alcoholism. And they are stressed out as well. And they take that stress out on the closest person that's near them at the time, whether it's their spouse or their colleague. So just keep it in perspective and value yourself. And I think that's what mindfulness does. You know, people used to say, oh, I have my religion, I have my mindfulness or spirituality. The truth is, when you meditate and you take care of yourself and you go inwards, that's a very spiritual practice for anyone. When you touch yourself and touch your own soul. And once you do that and you strengthen your skill and you talk to your God, universe, source, whatever you want to call it, it is a sacred moment. And then we believe in ourselves and we honor those people around us, even if they're not performing at the best that they can be.
Mm-hmm. I had an experience on Saturday when I went into the drugstore to get my vaccine booster. And there was a man sitting next to me who was very agitated. And there were two people in the drugstore. One person was answering the phone, taking care of the drive-up people. And the other person was taking care of the people in line to buy things and pick up prescriptions. And one of those two had to be the one to give the vaccines. So the man next to me, after a while, I was watching his body language. I'm sitting there with my Kindle because I know in advance, you know, they're going to be busy. It's a Saturday morning. I'm going to bring something with me to keep me engaged while I'm waiting. He's pacing, getting up off his chair, craning, looking at what people are doing behind the counter. And finally, he says, "Is there a problem?" Clearly, there was a problem. So the woman behind the counter said, "Well, you can see we're very busy, sir. We'll be with you as soon as we can." "Well, you know, I had an appointment." She said, "Well, actually, your appointment was for 11. I think he must have gotten there early because it was 10 after 11 when he was carrying on. And he said, "Well, you know, I have appointments myself too." And she said, "Well, you're very welcome to go to your other appointments if you want." Well, that stopped him. And then she came out a few minutes later and she gave him his vaccine and told him to stay there for 10 minutes. And he couldn't do that. He had to pace around. Then she looked at me and I handed her my vaccine card. And she said, "Thank you very much for being patient. I appreciate that." I said, "No problem." She said, "Happy Easter. I hope you have a nice weekend. You too. Thank you again for being patient." And I thought, what a difference in her demeanor towards him and her demeanor towards me. And the difference was how I interacted with her compared to how he interacted.
Absolutely.
You know, I was happy reading my Kindle. I was involved in the story. I could have sat there for another hour, but his level of agitation didn't get him anywhere except upset internally and feeling stressed because he had to wait.
And, you know, our body has something called mirror neurons. And anybody who witnessed that interaction with that man and that nurse, probably, or pharmacist tech, whoever gave the vaccine, probably felt agitated that he was agitated. Mm. Now, if somebody else in the waiting room was watching you and your interaction with that nurse, they would go away feeling good. Because not only did you feel good and that, you know, tech felt good helping you, but somebody else witnessed it. It's just like in the shopping line, you know, when you're at the grocery store and somebody forgets their change or their card, and then somebody says, "Oh, don't worry, I've got a couple of extra cents. Here you go." Well, there's an act of kindness there that two people had with each other. But then the person who watched that act of kindness thought, "Oh, wasn't that nice?" And it just brings a little bit of a joyful moment. And I think if we keep ourselves aware of those joyful moments, they just build up. Like I call my project Moments to Mindfulness, because life is about moments. And it's one moment stacked on top of the other or the other or the other. And I know today I will be thinking about my conversation with Pat and I will be on a high. And it's just these little moments that have come together, because I know that you're doing good in the world and what you're doing and the behind the scenes projects. And it brings me joy. And I hope your listeners will say, "That Pat is a great person. She's helping so many other people." And then that joy is contagious. And we have a way of just livening up the world. And that reduces our stress too.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that. And tell our listener how he or she can find out more about you and the services that you offer.
I have a website, you know, I spend more time on me than I do my website. It's a work in progress, as they say. But if you go to Moments to Mindfulness, www.legalnursepodcast.com. You will see some of the events that I have coming up. I've got one on creativity and mindfulness. If you can't attend, you can buy the recordings and you will learn from experts on stress reduction, from doctors to creativity muses. I also have a free book that you can download that gives you the overall big picture on what mindfulness is about. And once you're on my mailing list, you'll hear about my courses, and I go into corporations, anywhere from game developers to nursing homes or hospitals. And I work with people in my course and coaching program to ultimately reduce your stress and just have a more enjoyable life, because that's really what it boils down to.
Well, thank you, Anne-Marie. I know that our listener has gotten some tips from this conversation, might even feel a little calmer and a little less stressed. Take some deep breaths. Think about techniques that you can use to incorporate in your life to handle the inevitable stresses that can arise. And be sure to come back next week for a new show, new guest, new topic. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm Pat Iyer, and I'm bringing to you Chelsea Harris, who works as an in-house legal nurse consultant. We finished her podcast, and I wanted to share with you some of the key points that Chelsea covered. You'll have an opportunity to get a feel for the information that she will share with you in her podcast. Chelsea, let's entice our reader, our listener, a little bit. What were some of the key things that we talked about in your show?
So today we talked about how I became a legal nurse consultant and went from working bedside in a very busy level one trauma ER to working at a desk as legal nurse consultant for a defense law firm. We discussed my role as a legal nurse consultant in-house and how I go about finding experts, what all my responsibilities are in-house compared to being a legal nurse consultant outside of the office. We also discussed the pros and cons of working in-house at a law firm and how good of a juggler I am with all the tasks that I need to get done.
All right. And we should mention that Chelsea had at one point four children under the age of five when she began her job. So think about, she's juggling her home and she's juggling her legal nurse consulting practice. And oh, by the way, we should mention she also does sexual assault nurse examinations as well. Yes. So this is one busy lady who knows how to multitask, and you'll pick up concrete tips that you can use as you think about or explore the idea of working as an in-house LNC. Thank you. Be sure to get Chelsea Harris's podcast queued up next.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Join our community to get notified of each new episode and to receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. We appreciate you and your interest.